بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. وما بعد، my brothers and sisters, the other day I mentioned in my khatira the excellent advice that was given by my aunt to her three children. And she said to them three things. She said, always be grateful to Allah, make shukr. Second thing she said to them was, always seek Allah's forgiveness, make istighfar and tawbah. And third thing she said is, and that is a very important thing, which is, forgive each other. She said, forgive each other. Now, out of these three things, shukr, istighfar, and forgiving each other. Forgiving each other is the most difficult. That is the toughest. Because in forgiving each other, the thing that comes in the way is our own ego. How can I ask for forgiveness? And I will have 100 reasons, justifications for my action. I said this because he said that, and because she said this, and because he did that, and that happened, this happened. Lots of things. To leave that aside and say, I am sorry, I apologize, very tough. Very, very difficult. But this is the secret. This is absolutely the secret to every kind of relationship. Every relationship. Our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is istighfar? Which is apologizing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, I'm sorry. Our relationship with our siblings, brothers and sisters, the thing that keeps them together is the willingness to seek forgiveness and to forgive them. So two parts to forgiveness. One is I ask forgiveness. The other one is, I don't have to ask because I'm the one against whom the operation was done, but I will forgive. Forgiving each other. In a marriage, the single thing that keeps a marriage together, a single thing that keeps a marriage going and healthy is not love. People say, you know, love between them. No, it's not love. It is forgiveness. Love is good to have. But even where over time that love may diminish for whatever reason, if there is forgiveness, the marriage will remain intact. So forgiveness is critical. That's the big, big, big lesson, if not the biggest lesson we learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I want to give you just one or two examples to illustrate from the seerah. The 13 years in Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was oppressed and he was threatened and he was harmed and he was, you know, mentally and other ways he was oppressed. When he went to Taif, we have the famous incident of Taif. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, after the Battle of Uhud, she asked him, she said, in the Battle of Uhud, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got injured and all that, right? Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha asked him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, which was your most difficult day in your life? And he said, my day in Taif. Now think about that. Here is a man who, even from a worldly, you know, perspective, aspect, if you look at it, he was from the aristocracy of Quraysh, he was from the number one family of Quraysh, the caretakers of the Haram, of the Kaaba, right? And so on and so on. And he was the grandson of Abdul Muttalib, who was the chief of the chiefs. And he is treated with such terrible, in such terrible ways by the people of Taif. He is abused, they get their urchins and people to throw stones at him and to, you know, injure him physically, where he's bleeding, him and Zayd bin Haritha, radiallahu anhu. For what? Just because he invited them to La ilaha illallah, he did not harm anybody, despite that. He said that was the most difficult day, because it was physical injury, it was mental injury, mental anguish. You can imagine in publicly being humiliated and insulted for no reason. He did not do anything to deserve that, but they did it. Yet, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the power in his hands, when he made dua, Jibreel alayhi salam came and another angel came with him. And the angel said, Ya Rasulallah, I am the angel of the mountains and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered me to put myself at your command. So tell me what to do, I will do it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what can you do? He said, I can join these two mountains together. There will be no Taif. Every single thing in the city of Taif will be finished. You will tell me, I will do it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. He said, no. He said, it is my hope from my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu that from these people, Allah will raise those who will say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Forgiveness. And the second incident of forgiveness, his whole life is full of these, it's not just one. The whole incident of Fatah Makkah, if you take Sulh Hudaybiyah, the whole thing. But just one more I want to say to you to finish the khatira, is what happened in the Battle of Uhud. In the Battle of Uhud again, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was attacked, he was injured, grievously injured. He was injured to such an extent that he fell down, he almost lost consciousness. Links of his chainmail went into his cheek. His cheek was cut, his tongue was cut, two of his teeth were broken, and the helmet was sort of embedded into his blessed head. He probably had a hairline fracture of the skull. We don't know if you look at, you know, things after that. So the Sahaba, they picked him up and they carried him up into the side of the mountain in a depression, so he was protected. His injury was so severe that people thought that he had died. So the Sahaba, when he gained consciousness and so on, the Sahaba around him, they said, Ya Rasulullah, this is enough. This is the limit. Make dua against these people. They said, what kind of people are these? They attack their own Nabi. They want to kill their own Rasul. For what? For saying La ilaha illallah. For advising them of how to go to Jannah. This is what they are doing. Make dua against them. Now put yourself in that place. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat up. He raised his hands. And I can imagine, you know, probably the whole world is silent and watching. And for a Nabi to make dua against his people is, if you see the history of the Anbiya alayhi salam, this is the common thing. For Anbiya to make dua against their people was what almost all the Anbiya did. After it's not that they did it the first day, Nuh alayhi salam took 950 years before he made the dua, but at the end of the day, for a Nabi to make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to punish the rebellious people, the criminals among his people is nothing new, it is not something unique. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hands, imagine the whole world is watching, what is he going to say? What did he say? He said, oh Allah, forgive my people. Because they do not know what they do. He said, Rabbi, ighfir li qawmi.
No.
Yeah. Innahum la ya'lamun. He said, they do not know what they do. He's asking forgiveness for those people who injured him, who tried to kill him. Now fast forward from there to Fatah Makkah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him absolute power, 10,000 soldiers, absolute power. The norm of the time is any conquering general or conquering monarch used to enslave the men and women and children, kill some of them, the men, the leaders, and enslave the rest of the population. Rasulullah ﷺ could have done all of that without any blame to him, because this was the custom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the absolute power. What did he do? He stood on the door of the Kaaba, he asked them, he told his people, he said, what do you expect from me? They said, Anta Akhil Kareem, Ibn Akhil Kareem. He said, you are our honored brother, the son of our honored brother. Same person they abused and they tried to kill for 13 years, now honored brother. He didn't turn around and say, you are a bunch of liars, you know. What happened to those? I was the same person. My father was the same person. My grandfather was the same person. When I was living here in Makkah, he didn't say any of that. He said, Izhabu, go. فَأَنْتُمُ الْتُلَقَى. He said, you are freed. Go, you are freed. And not only that, he did not demand compensation for what he or any of the Sahaba, the Muhajirun, had lost. They all lost their possessions, their land, their houses and their wealth, everything else. He did not ask compensation. He did not say, he did not even say, you took $10, give me back 10. No, let alone saying, here's a fine. No, he just, what you took, give it back. No, he didn't ask for anything. And the Sahaba also didn't ask for anything. Now think about that. This happened, what was the result of that? It was not easy, it would have been the most incredibly difficult thing that you can imagine. I mean, nobody can say that this was easy. But the result of that was that in one stroke, Rasulullah ﷺ completely cancelled out all possibilities of rebellion against him. Because how can anybody rebel? If somebody says anything against him, their own people will say, you are walking today because he gave you life. You would have been dead. You would have been sitting in prison. Now you are talking against him. Nobody will open his mouth, because he said, we have this ihsan from him. How can we even repay? One stroke. And I want to end with that. That's what I want to remind myself and you, that when it seems to be difficult to seek forgiveness, remember this. When you push down your own ego and say, sorry, I will ask forgiveness because I was wrong. Or, I was not wrong, the other person wronged me, now the other person is asking me to forgive, I will forgive. Even though I have a right to retaliate, I will not retaliate, I will forgive. Even without asking, I will forgive. When you do that, believe me, you wipe out the possibility of all conflict. You heal wounds. You join together hearts. And families remain together. I remind myself and you, always forgive. Seek forgiveness if you do wrong, and forgive others when something is done to you. Because that is the way of keeping hearts together. And relationships are much more important than ego, much more important than money, much more important than anything else. If the hearts are together, this is the number one thing. But this pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the pleasure of Allah is the ultimate benefit that we have. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to keep our hearts together, to fill them with love for one another, to fill them with forgiveness. We seek Allah's forgiveness for ourselves. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us as we forgive others. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.